Well, it's a great day in the life of the church, where the church, Western Church, commemorates 500 years of continuous reform. We call it the what began as the Protestant Reformation. And this date is significant. And for the history buffs in the room, it was on October the 31st in 1517 that the theologian and scholar Martin Luther distributed a document called the 95 Theses, detailing widespread concerns about the Western Church and presenting some ideas for reforming its doctrines and practices. Now, on a very personal note, for those of you who have ideas about how we can reform the Church of St. George and Young, please cool it a bit. We don't need 95 theses or 95 ideas. We have quite a few already from the summer conversations that we have. Unfortunately, though, this led to a split in the Roman Catholic Church, the Western Church. And out of this, there were a number of Protestant denominations that were formed. And many religious historians and commentators consider the Reformation to be a mixed blessing, as it led to the fragmentation of the Western Church and eventually to the wars of religion in Europe. Because at that time, the face of Europe was changing, and political leaders tried to increase their power at the expense of a divided church. But one of the principal ideas of the Reformation is the authority of Scripture alone. And you can see there a bit of a comparison, which isn't complete, but gives you an overview of the two different perspectives. One which occurred because there was a shift in thinking around the direct relationship that people have with God. In our context, church doctrines and practices are built on what we call the three legs of the stool, on Scripture, the traditions of the church, and divine reason through the Holy Spirit. And in the church today, there's greater emphasis on the ministry of the whole people of God, supporting the idea that we all have direct access to God through prayer, that we're all gifted for various forms of ministry, but that we work in conjunction with each other to do God's work. But for a moment, let us take a look at the gospel reading for today. And in this passage from Matthew 22, verses 34 to 46, we would recall from the reading by morning that the religious leaders continued to test Jesus by asking him, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" Which commandment in the law is the greatest? And I guess that this is a question that we ask ourselves, don't we? But have you ever noticed that the human tendency is to place emphasis on some commandments and completely ignore others? Of course, that might depend on our own circumstances. doesn't it? But we must bear in mind that in the days of Jesus, the law-abiding religious groups had replaced the intent of God's covenant promises with self-interest and self-justifying traditions. And in today's gospel, Jesus does not suggest that there are greater and lesser commandments. Jesus did not suggest that there are some commandments that are mandatory and some that are optional. What Jesus made very clear to his hearers that the commandments, despite the way that they were written, because we would recall that the commandments were all, thou shalt not. This, however, does not focus on the negative. What the commandments are really intended to do is to teach us how we ought to behave. So in summary, the commandments, love the Lord, love our neighbor. For the heart is at the center, and what is important is our relationship with God and one another, and how we practically care for each other on a day-to-day basis. Now, Jesus wanted to send a clear message to the religious leaders of the day, and perhaps the message is important for us as well. But as we consider the circumstances around the time of the Reformation and how the scripture today informs us, we must now ask ourselves the question, what is inspiring us to action right now? What is inspiring us to action right away? So tell me, what is our dissatisfaction with the church today? What is our dissatisfaction with the parish of St. George on Young today? How can it be reformed? How can we change as a parish? Given the idea that we are probably due for a major transformation, not just here at St. George on Young, but perhaps throughout the church. What do we see at St. George on Young that requires a little shaking up? Well, we're reminded that the Reformation caused divisions along with the reforms. And many today see this 500th anniversary as an additional opportunity for reconciliation among Christians and indeed with people of other faiths as well. And we could all learn from the Reformation, couldn't we? And I want to suggest three things that we can learn from the Reformation. That division could be dysfunctional, but we can have transformation while minimizing the divisiveness that often accompanies change. Yes, we can have transformation, we can have meaningful change without disruption. So I want to suggest that that's the first learning from that we can take away from the events of the Reformation. Secondly, from the Reformation, we can learn that there's a need for reconciliation. As we grow deeper in our relationship with God and with each other, and we look towards common goals, let us emphasize what we have in common, not what sets us apart from each other. And I must say, good news, we are making some progress. One example is the ecumenical movement of which we are all aware, and how that affects us directly in the Anglican Church is that in North America, the Anglican and Episcopal churches are in full communion with the Evangelical Lutheran Church. So that's great news. So first of all, division could be dysfunctional, and we can transform without having divisiveness. Secondly, the need for reconciliation. And thirdly, let us all learn from the experiences of the past. We've all heard this saying before, experience is the greatest teacher. Haven't we heard that? But we don't have to go through the same experience. We can learn from other people's experiences, can't we? Because what experience teaches us is what is useful, but also what is ineffective. But we do know that transformation quite often takes the collaboration and cooperation of others, doesn't it? But I believe that there's one way we can pursue the positive learnings of the Reformation, that is to start with ourselves, start with our personal renewal. Yes, we don't need the cooperation or collaboration of others to start working on ourselves. Later in the service, we're going to be presenting Alexis for baptism. This will be her formal introduction into the church, into the body of Christ. We will participate in the religious rite of sprinkling water, which symbolizes the purification and regeneration as she's admitted into the church. It will be a new beginning for her and for those who support her in her new life in Christ. And we also, as part of the body of Christ, will be renewing our baptismal vows. But let us just emphasize a few suggestions for our personal renewal, because renewal is continuous. In our first reading, we heard of the obedience of the Israelites, because the Israelites obeyed Joshua, doing as the Lord has commanded Moses. So from the scripture, we get some direction. First of all, how can we personally renew obedience to the will of God? Secondly, from the gospel, we heard a clear message to love God and to love each other. So we can personally renew, we can personally transform, first of all, by being obedient to the will of God. Secondly, by sharing God's love with each other. And thirdly, we can follow Paul's example from the epistle reading for today, where he explains that a very, very critical part of the Christian life is to spread the good news. First of all, then, we become obedient to the will of God. Secondly, we share God's love. And thirdly, we spread it everywhere. But I would just like to close very quickly with a few thoughts about our responsibility as Christians to witness to God's love. And I want to share this quote with you from a book written by the theologian and author Samuel Shoemaker. And the book is called Revive Thy Church, Beginning with Me. And it's an excellent book if you'd like to just peruse it at one of these days. Just want to quote very quickly. It is our personal defects that hamper us. If we truly let go, God could use us, all of us. Water can run through any kind of pipe, copper, lead, tin, wood, gold, if only the pipe is open. Just want to repeat that last part. Water can run through any kind of pipe, copper, lead, tin, wood, gold, if only the pipe is open. End of quote. Now, my friends, these words were written in 1948, almost 70 years ago, but they're even more relevant to us today, urging us to be open and to allow God to use us in His service. So while we honor our heritage from the past, we must look to the future and continually reshape our ministry to share God's love in a changing world. My sisters and my brothers in Christ, these thoughts I share with you in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.